Today's episode is brought to you by Canby Foursquare Church. Since 1978, a place to grow, connect, and serve. In-person services are back with some restrictions to help ensure everyone stays safe and healthy. For the latest, visit their website at canbyfoursquare.com.
This episode is also brought to you by Chris Salee, your local health markets insurance agency. Creative solutions for your health, Medicare, and life insurance needs. Personalized advice at 503-678-5768. Welcome to Now Hear This, Canby,
your source for news.
The threat of a possible teacher strike was avoided this week.
There's a new irresistibly cute creature winning over fans, and its name is Scootaloo.
Sports?
It's like Lucy in the football. You want to kick a field goal, but they take it away from you.
We had to learn how to win.
Goal can't be in the last second of the game!
And interesting conversations.
Because I'm one of the strongest girls ever, and I know that for a fact.
I just really enjoy writing gossip as if I was a bear.
With an old maid daughter that make the best moonshine in the coast.
If it would have hit me in the face, I think I would have died. I really do.
I guarantee you would have died, man. Are you kidding me?
Canby, Malala, Oregon City, and many of the surrounding areas have been ravaged by a series of apocalyptic wildfires that have raged through Clackamas County since Monday. Here's the latest. After a reevaluation process that began Saturday morning, most of Canby and Oregon City within the city limits were rolled back to level 1 evacuation status late that evening. While still not fully out of the woods, the Riverside fire still rampaging uncontained in the southeast part of the county, the good news was heralded by many as a positive step in the right direction. Finally, after nearly a week-long nightmare. Parts of Sandy were also dropped from level 2, get set, to level 1, be ready. There were no reductions in the level 3, go now areas, including Malala, Estacada, Colton, and much of the surrounding countryside. The decision came down from the Riverside Fire Incident Management Team, based on current fire activity and firefighter progress in securing hotspots near these communities. There are still 4 fires burning in Clackamas County, Clackamas Fire reports. The Riverside Fire is currently being managed by the Southwest Federal Incident Management Team No. 1 and has burned more than 130,000 acres. The 3 additional fires managed by the Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office and Oregon Department of Forestry are identified as the Doty Road, Unger Road, and Wilhoit Fires, all in the Malala and Colton areas. These 3 fires have collectively burned an estimated 5,000 acres. Fire crews are actively protecting structures and patrolling the area, putting out hotspots. Our challenges remain reduced visibility, limiting our aerial reconnaissance, and rapidly changing fire conditions, Clackamas Fire said in a press release Sunday afternoon. We hope for a break in the weather and better visibility later today. Air quality throughout the state, and particularly in our area, remains a huge concern. The Oregon Department of Environmental Quality on Saturday extended an air quality advisory for the entire state due to smoke levels that are fluctuating between unhealthy for sensitive groups and straight up hazardous. Smoke throughout the Willamette Valley will remain unhealthy to hazardous throughout Saturday, and the Forest Service said the heavy inversion of the fire area is not expected to lift out of the area much, and east transport winds continue to bring smoke into the Willamette Valley throughout the weekend. The Clackamas County Sheriff's Office and Malala Police Department arrested 3 suspects Friday afternoon, allegedly taking advantage of homes and properties in the Molino area that have been evacuated due to the encroaching Riverside Fire. Deputies on enhanced patrols were dispatched to the area on a report of two suspicious individuals walking onto the property on Ringo Road. After an investigation, deputies reportedly determined that James Dean Shortwell and Sandy Faye Lennox, both 34, had stolen two gas-powered generators, a box of hand tools including a cordless drill, two leaf blowers, and at least one gas can from a neighboring property. Shortwell and Lennox were each arrested and transported to Clackamas County Jail on charges of first-degree theft and second-degree burglary. During the investigation, a stolen John Deere Gator side-by-side utility vehicle was also located in a nearby wooded area, police said. Shortwell reportedly had the key to this stolen utility vehicle in his pocket. The John Deere had been stolen out of Molalla, and Molalla PD made an additional arrest of another suspect in that case, Dwayne Schupp, 56, of Molalla. According to the Oregonian, Schupp tried to burglarize a local towing company and then stole a utility terrain vehicle from a locked facility at Molalla Middle School Thursday. Officers arrested Schlipp while he was casing neighborhoods, according to police. Schlipp was charged with attempted burglary, unauthorized use of a motor vehicle, and first-degree theft. More crime news. A man from Estacada and a woman from Milwaukee were arrested Friday for attempting to steal a trailer from a Good Samaritan couple who were using it to help people evacuate from level 3 zones of rural Clackamas County. According to the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office, the couple got a flat tire on the trailer on Judd Road in Eagle Creek. Police say that they unhooked it and left it behind to get supplies to fix the trailer. While they were gone, police say two suspects, Buck Adam Nickel, 41, and Kimberly Tipton, 52, found the trailer and decided to help themselves. A Clackamas County deputy contacted the suspects and quickly learned that they were in the middle of stealing the trailer. The male suspect also had a concealed .357 handgun. Nickel was arrested for the first-degree theft and felony in possession of a firearm. Tipton was also cited for theft. More suspicious individuals were apprehended on Thursday after an Estacada resident called to report a maroon SUV with three passengers in his driveway near Rainbow Road in a rural part of Clackamas County. The subjects fled the scene when confronted by the police. While en route to the scene, deputies spotted the suspect maroon SUV leaving the area around 11:21 a.m. They stopped the vehicle near Southeast Copeland Road and Southeast Porter Road, finding two men and a woman inside. The driver, Trevor Irish, 42, had a suspended license for unpaid tickets, and he was cited. The front passenger, Andrew Eric Roberts Nichols, 32, was found to be in possession of heroin, police said. He was also on probation for mail theft. He was arrested and transported to Clackamas County Jail on felony heroin charges. Backseat passenger Holly Fawn Fay, 32, was cited for heroin possession and a warrant for possession of methamphetamine. She was also on probation for a drug conviction. Methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia were also found in the SUV, according to police. The SUV itself was towed. The first week of classes in both learning models of Canby School District have been canceled until Tuesday due to evacuation orders across the county and other impacts of the wildfire crisis, including air quality issues. While the fire threat continues and air quality worsens, the focus on your safety and wellness is of utmost importance, Canby Superintendent Tripp Goodall said in an email to families Friday. We will not be starting classes Monday, September 14th, as planned. Many of the district staff and families have evacuated their homes, Goodall said, and they need to give them time to return to their homes when it is safe to do so. When that time comes, everyone will be in a better position to focus on teaching and learning, Goodall said. We expect this to be Tuesday or Wednesday. We will keep you informed. In a separate letter Friday evening, Canby High School Principal Greg Sunset called it an understatement to say this week did not start and end as we anticipated. The latest announcement means that the start of a school year already drastically impacted by the coronavirus pandemic has been postponed at least one full week by the apocalyptic wildfires that have devastated the county and displaced an estimated 40,000 people. Throughout this past week, the Oregon Department of Forestry crews are basing resilience assets at the Aurora State Airport to fast-track their efforts to contain the fires. At least one Oregon Army National Guard helicopter and a U.S. Air Force Reserve helicopter, as well as several other contract helicopters, staged at Aurora Airport. Additional ground support equipment, tankers, and mobile command trailers are also on site. Linux FBO Services is providing assistance with fuel, aircraft marshaling, and condition of ramp space. John Bickford, Linux Line Manager, is an experienced coordinator and has direct experience with the challenging coordination of aircraft in situations just like what we're experiencing now. The Aurora Airport Water Control District has volunteered 50,000 gallons of water per day to Oregon Department of Forestry to use in preparation for airdrops once the weather and visibility allow. Aurora Airport businesses and the Water Control District will continue to do anything we can for our surrounding communities, said Bruce Bennett, volunteer director of the Water Control District. Many of our airport businesses are generously stepping up to help those who need us during this time. We will partner with this team effort in any way we can. Based at Aurora Airport, Helicopter Transport Services is one of those businesses. With one of the largest and most diverse fleets of helicopters in the industry, HTS conducts missions that range from heavy lift to fire suppression and air ambulance efforts. HTS has already had their Sky Crane helitanker working in the Santiam Canyon area and is offering to support ODF directly from its Aurora base. All of us at the Aurora Airport are just trying to do our part to help our families and communities who are being impacted, said Friends of the Aurora State Airport spokesman Dylan Frederick. Our firefighters, police, and other first responders are the ones putting their lives on the line to keep us safe. This is the least that we can do. The small but busy airport, actually the state's fourth busiest behind PDX, Hillsborough, and Bend, is a key cog in many of the emergency management scenarios for large disaster situations, such as a Cascadia subduction zone earthquake event. The airport is one of only 84 general aviation airports in the nation with a national significance designation from the FAA, given to airports that play a crucial role in national transportation needs and emergency preparedness. Much to his surprise, Bob Oblak's home on Dickey Prairie Road in Molalla was not destroyed by a raging wildfire Friday. When he found it intact the following day, he wondered what had happened. He soon found in a text from a neighbor, a 100% redneck fire crew rolled through here yesterday. They stopped the fire a mile from my house. The redneck fire crew may not be exactly how they would describe themselves, according to another resident whose husband, a 20-year veteran of the fire service, including fighting wildland fires in California, helped lead the effort. I don't know how PC that is, she said with a laugh. In general, this was just some damn good-hearted men and women who saw that there was a job that needed to get done, and they did it. Most of the residents interviewed for this story asked not to be named, saying they do not want to or need the recognition for their heroic actions. "We don't want an award or our names in the newspaper," a woman said. "They don't want an award or their names in the newspaper," a woman said. "They just did what they felt needed to be done, and they did it to help the grandparents and kids and families, to protect everything we have out here." Another reason for anonymity, perhaps, is so none of those involved, including some off-duty firefighters, would face repercussions for working outside of the official chain of command. And so they can speak freely about a government response that they feel more or less abandoned them to fate and the will of nature this week. "I have not seen one paid crew in the last 3 days," said an area resident who has been helping the volunteers by delivering food and water. On Thursday, they called off all resources and said the feds were going to come in, and we believed them. "Then my husband went out there early the next morning, and there was not a soul on the fire." The long tongues of Riverside Fire, which has torched 130,000 acres in Clackamas County, including areas of Molalla, Estacada, and Colton, were bearing down on them, and they felt that they had no choice but to take matters into their own hands. "It's me and our community and our neighbors that are going to save each other." That's how one resident put it. "There's nobody else." So they came, the volunteers. Or if you prefer, you can stand being less PC and call them the rednecks. Shortly after 11 a.m. Friday morning, a continuous line of over 100 vehicles drove up the curvy, unlined country roads converging on the area of Ramsey Road and Kuban in Molalla. They came in trucks, water wagons and tenders, refill tanks. They came in excavators, dozers, skid steers, and other heavy equipment. They came through word of mouth. They were siblings, parents, children, friends, and neighbors. As one resident eloquently put it, "These are the people that we share Hobart and Viking stadiums with under the Friday night lights. These are the familiar faces in our 4th of July parades and your kids' baseball games. These are our family businesses, the people we see in the grocery store, the off-duty first responders, and even the neighbors you thought you didn't care." And they were not firefighters, not volunteer firefighters even, another resident said. "They were good old boys who care about the community and getting stuff done. They weren't nothing fancy. Most rolled up in pickup trucks that were 12 different shades of put together. They loaded up 10 guys in the back and away they went. They circled up in a smoky rolling hay field to plan their attack on the fire waiting in a forested canyon below. They followed a lead dozer blazing a trail down the steep, dense hillside to cut a wildfire break and to protect the people, livestock, and property of Ramsby Road. Throughout Friday, smaller crews peeled off to address hotspots, while a larger contingent was directed to help at a fire up Sawtell Road at Elk Prairie. The fire came following the line of a small canyon, within splitting distance of Ramsby and Dickey Prairie roads, but would ultimately advance no further. The fire break held. The volunteers worked relentlessly until the threat of fire was gone. "There were a lot of young kids," said the female resident. "My husband joked that he was one of the old guys. He's 35, but they worked hard. He said they worked harder than most of the crews that had been working there before." Proud was how one resident described it. I guess that's kind of a hashtag now or whatever, but it's true, she said. "We are proud of this community and the people who are out there doing the grind for no pay. They get nothing. It's just out of the goodness of their heart and to save people." Another said she wanted the story of the Ramsby Road volunteers to be told because of all of the negativity, much of it political, that she sees on social media. "Even though there's been fire and destruction, there's been so much good out here," she said. "I didn't want people to miss that." And the residents are indeed grateful. They saved this property, as far as I'm concerned, said Oblak. I'm just so blessed and so humbled by the support of the neighbors around here. Hey, Frankie, do you ever wonder why some businesses aren't, like, more transparent?
Oh, yeah. Like, some of the old buildings downtown are so dark. Get some more windows,
no,
you know?
No. I mean, like, transparent as in being open and honest about their business practices.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, DirectLink is a good example. They don't have internet data caps or charge extra fees for high usage.
Oh, yeah. Which is great with all the internet I've been using since this whole COVID situation started.
They also don't charge infrastructure build fees like some other providers. And they're active in our community, too. Check out their philanthropic efforts at directlink.coop/community.
Did you know that they also hold an annual meeting every year where members can talk directly with the board of directors and upper management?
Talk about transparent. You won't see any other companies being that accessible. DirectLink really is here for us. Call 503-266-8111 or visit directlink.coop to learn more today.
On the Can Be Conversation today, I'm joined by my counterpart, Tyler Claussen.
Yeah, I'm here.
And we also have as our guest today, once again, on Now Here This Can Be Mayor Brian Hodson. And Mayor, I think it's pretty obvious what we are going to be talking to you about with everything that's going on.
The fair, when's it coming back? Oh, wait.
Downtown Quiet Zone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Hot topics today, right? Yeah. Yes.
Yes, hot topics for sure. So I guess, first of all, how are you holding up, man?
You know, I was thinking about that today. Like, I feel really, you roll from 6 months of dealing with pandemic, and then you roll into something like this. And,
oh, my gosh, yes.
And, like, it's this constant state of, like, heightened awareness, right? Like, I'm constantly watching Clackamas's website. I'm constantly watching, like, Sandy Estacada's, you know, government pages and some of their Chambers of Commerce things. So it's this constant information flow, right? So I'm like, my brain is tired just from trying to keep track of all the information that's going on. And, you know, and even like today, because a number of us mayors kind of pushed back on the county, they've included the mayors and city managers in their daily debriefings, which is good because we were not, all the information may not have been filtering down or whatever, but we're part of it now, which is good. But yeah, it's, I mean, like, mentally just kind of exhausted. But then I sit here and I go, that's nothing compared to, like, our Canby firefighters and just everybody on the front lines are, I mean, they're exhausted. They're physically
exhausted,
drained, and it's not, it's nonstop. Like, I, you know, I was just telling you guys before we kind of got into this, but a friend of mine, I mean, she and her husband were on the lines, I mean, almost 24 straight hours, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a level of exhaustion. I mean, like, I have no room to complain. So, you know, I'm mentally fatigued, but not nearly what I think those firefighters and families are going through. So I have no room to complain. I'm all right.
Yeah. I want to come back to some of that here in a little bit, but rather than kind of doing, like, what's the latest, because it'll probably change by the time it comes out tomorrow morning, right? I'd love to hear just a little bit more about your personal experience, Brian. Like, kind of take us back to Monday, maybe, or walk us through a little bit the life of a, you know, Canby mayor during this crazy time. Can you tell us kind of what stands out from your mental exhaustion trying to recount 6 days ago now?
Really, it's only, I'm going to say, Sunday.
Yeah.
That was only 6 days ago.
Yeah.
You know,
it feels like a year.
It feels like it's been so long, man.
You know, it's interesting hearing some of the background, right? So having a number of conversations with people and, I mean, there are some reports that one of these fires has been burning since middle of August.
Wow.
You know,
and
that was on federal lands, right? So,
mm-hmm.
But we don't catch it and start dealing with it until it, you know, comes off the federal land and into the, you know, into the county kind of thing. So, you know, it really kind of back up for the week, and we're kind of the day in the life of a mayor with something like this that goes on. And you start getting the updates and you start getting information and, you know, where are we at? And, you know, you are aware of what's going on out there, but then it becomes more Canby centric, right? So, you know, I'm the mayor of Canby, and I'm a member of Clackamas County, but I'm very much Canby centric. And here's what we've got to do. Here's what we have to prepare for, and here's what we have to watch for.
Yeah.
You know, so then it becomes knowing that our fire crews are out there fighting those. So like Chief Davis was out at the Colton Command Center, I think starting on Tuesday, maybe it might've been even Monday. But he was out there for, you know, two straight days, making sure that, you know, our crews are doing what they need to do. And they're come to find out, you know, again, post wildfire here, we're not really out of it, but just how thin our resources were until the state and then even federal agencies showed up to add support. So our guys are, so knowing that we've got our guys and gals from Canby Fire on the front lines is, you know, you start to kind of like, okay, this is a real deal and this is something to be concerned about. And so start putting mind share to it. It really started to become, I think, really real for, I think, us in Canby when we did go to level one. And so then it's a heightened awareness for sure. Like, okay, this is, now we're taking.
When we went to level one or level two?
Level one, because then.
Oh, okay, because we are on that. We're now in that session of like, oh, we have to pay attention to these fires a little bit.
Right, even. Now we're like, okay, this is kind of moving our direction. And that's, you know, we're starting to get, you know, families from, you know, South County moving in and coming over into the fairgrounds and knowing what they now have to be going through and that kind of piece. And so, and every step of the way, like each group, like I gotta give huge credit to Lori Bothwell and the team there at the Canby Fairgrounds and Event Center. I mean, Clackamas, not Canby, but Clackamas. It's our own. Hey, we'll claim it.
Yeah.
On this podcast, it's Canby.
All right.
It's the Canby Fairgrounds.
We'll call it the Canby Fairgrounds. Clackamas has got nothing on us. But just her team, I mean, went into action and it was amazing. So I toured over there yesterday and the things that they did and pulled together in record time with their team and volunteers was amazing.
It was so quick, man.
Super quick. And so, you know, we move into level one and so here we are. We're handling people lining up for the fairgrounds and, you know, and so my day job takes me out of town. And so we actually had a conference call. So I work in Hillsboro, and so the company I work for, we had a conference call about, we were concerned about the fire that was between Newburgh and Farmington Road.
The Chehalem Mountain area?
That one.
Yeah.
And so because we have another community that would have been impacted had that continued to grow, so it was like, okay, what do we do if we have to evacuate that community in Newburgh, that particular assisted living community? And so come to find, you know, so here we're planning all that, and then come Thursday, you know, we go to level two. Sandy, you know, we have two communities in Sandy, and then there's one in Oregon City that we evacuated. And so, you know, so now it becomes, so I'm trying to now on Thursday evacuate or coordinate my team to help these three other communities evacuate, coordinate my team at work in case we have to, in case some of those residents do come our way, what do we need to do to snap into action?
Right.
For their care, for their, where do we, how do we get them situated in rooms, et cetera. And then your own
family.
Right. And so on the other piece of that is now I'm looking at a map on my phone that has, you know, Canby in level two. And, you know, my wife's like, hey, we went to level two. How far out are you?
Like,
I haven't left yet. So that's how far out I am. Right.
Yeah. And, And also this whole time, like every day, it's like, okay, well, maybe school will start tomorrow. maybe high school will start tomorrow. Okay, no, maybe it's next day. Like, there's so many things going on this week. It's insane.
Yeah, and so that became Thursday, and then getting back, and so packing, and I'm packing as I'm also trying to push out information and take in information, and all the while still trying to make sure that, you know, my team at work is taken care of and they're doing what they need to do, and my family, and trying to make sure that what do I need to know and what do I need to do. It's interesting. So that kind of takes us through the next couple of days in terms of that activity. I mean, it really is mayors and city councilors. And I've been told this, they don't want us hanging out.
Yeah.
You know, we're more like, unless we're prepared to like roll up the shirt sleeves and
grab do work or
answer phones or whatever, we're more of in the way kind of thing. And that's why my piece was, okay, just I can push information and that's what, we did, that's where I decide where I could help the most, right? And and then it was just putting people, finding out where to send people for resources, or, hey, if you've got donations, take them here. Well, great, now shift it over to here. And so that's really the role that I ended up playing here these last couple of days. And so fortunately, we didn't have to go to a stage or level 3 and have to evacuate.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, that would have been, and my wife and I talked about that as well. And basically it was like, all right, well, we'll get you guys situated at your sister-in-law's, and I'm coming back. And so to do whatever, answer phones, make coffee, whatever, the professionals need me to do, move cases of water, whatever. I just, something to help, right? And stay out of the way at the same time.
Yeah. Well, so first of all, I'd appreciate it, Mayor, if you knock on some wood real quick, that we're not going to see something change and we're back to level 2 or level 3. That's one thing that has been interesting about all of this. You mentioned a little bit earlier, Brian, but just kind of how uniquely can be like this crisis that has been like, with certain things that are universal, but kind of filtered through the Canby lens. Like, I think the thing that stands out to me is this picture I saw of a Subaru filled with goats.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just, somewhat to the good and the bad, but there's just like the kindness that has come through. There's so many things that living in this community and being plugged in to the extent that we are, you sort of get the sense, like, I feel like this would only happen here, in a good way. The fairground, we visited there as well a couple of days ago. So many like interesting and funny stories there. They're still manning the phones. They're obviously getting a lot of calls about, people even still needing a place to go or needing a place to put animals if they can, or just wanting to have information. One call, thank God, while I was there, was somebody asking about the scare fair that they're doing in October.
Like, the scare fair?
Yeah, they're doing
it. Yeah, they're doing it.
Oh, right, at the fairgrounds. I forgot about that.
In October. Just wondering, wanting some information. I told them they should have said, come down here now. It's scary AF.
It's super scary. Yeah.
Well, and that's, that's the interesting too, is like, I had a couple of messages and they were totally not related about, the fire or volunteering or donations or anything like that at all. It was like these just totally like, one of them was from a political candidate and I was like, do you not realize what is going on in Clackamas County right now?
Yeah.
Really?
Like, yeah.
How are you missing this, right? Like,
yeah.
I responded. I'm like, well, we're in the middle of some wildfires right now, so I'll tell you what. I'll get back to you here in maybe the end of next week or the week after. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, that's totally fine. I get it, yeah.
Totally fine.
Literally when the smoke blows over.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we are going to take a quick break. And then we will be back to talk a little bit more about this.
Joining us now is Donna Ellison of Ellison Team Homes, a firm serving all across the Portland metro area with three realtors based right here in Canby. Donna, can you tell us how Ellison Team Homes started?
I started in real estate. I grew up with my dad. He was a realtor. So I'm a second generation broker, and I grew up with, honestly, with him on weekends. And I learned a lot eventually working with him for several years and then going out on my own. Our family moved to Canby a couple of years ago, but we really didn't know how it was going to go. And within the first probably 3 months of being here, we literally fell head over heels in love with this place. We love the community, the spirit here. The first Christmas at Waite Park, I was literally crying because everybody was walking around saying Merry Christmas and people were drinking hot chocolate, and we got in a carriage ride with the horse, and it was just too much. You just realize it's special here. Real estate's always been my passion. It is my professional love. I enjoy the people, the relationships. So much comes out of kind of the intensity that you spend with people. You're really up in their business for a period of time. And sometimes it's a couple months. Sometimes it's a couple years, sometimes it's a lifetime. I feel very blessed at this point to have people that have been with me for almost my entire career. Clients that have bought and sold maybe 2, 3, 4, or 5 homes. I have one client that's bought and sold 8 homes with me. Three generations. It's a beautiful business. It makes for a very full life.
How can people find you?
How can they not, really? We have a website, www.ellisonteamhomes.com.
Well, thank you, Donna.
Thank you for having me.
And we're back. Tyler, do you have any questions for our esteemed mayor or anything you'd like to say?
No, I really was just going to bring up, like, you know, we've had to deal with this along with a lot of people here. Obviously, Frankie's not here in the studio. He decided to take his family up to Washington to get them to some clean air. I guess that's important.
Sort of clean. Looking at the air quality map. It literally extends out past Idaho. You'd have to go to Montana to get out
to
of
get clear.
Stuff.
But clear.
And also, listeners, just so you know, there are people guarding our house or Mayor Hodson. Don't get any ideas.
I was going to bring that up. You know, my wife and I, we left our house on Tuesday night. And when there was the fire up on Spangler and 213, and it was scary. I mean, you know, my wife and I, we drove out to go see it and see if it was actually worth paying attention to. And when we got there, I mean, the flames were higher than the trees were, and we're watching sparks getting thrown out into these fields. And, you know, my wife had a hard time not breaking down, and you know, I went into husband defense mode, and I was like, all right, let's go. Let's get this done. And I rushed home and let Frankie know what was going on. And so, you know, we had to take off, and then we stayed out in Donald for a few days, and then we came back and we're like, okay, it seems like things are going to calm down. This is hopefully going to help out. And then literally an hour after we returned home, we got the alert that it was going to level 2. We're like, we just came back home. And, you know, there had already been reports of looters, you know, in the area. And so I didn't feel comfortable leaving. And so it's that hard decision of, do you stay and fight through this, or do you go for your family and protect them? And, you know, my heart goes out to every single person that's had to make that hard decision, you know, to stay or leave. Have you seen a lot of that in the last few days?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can absolutely run parallel
like nothing
with,
but, right?
with what you said, you know, Tyler, with, yeah, I mean, we, you know, to come home on Thursday and you kind of, you know, assess the situation and what's going on. And, you know, my wife is amazing, and she's been a rock for putting up with me being a mayor for 8 years now. What, now it'll be 2 more, so 10 total here coming up. And and so to come in, and it's more reading the faces of my kids too, right? So you know, they're anxious, and they're they're running the whole gambit of emotions. And so so I think, you know, we as parents, you know, both moms and dads, just kind of go, all right, it's go mode. Let's yeah, I was definitely in that mode, and I sat here going, okay, if I wasn't mayor, would I just stick with my family, or would I roll back and still do it, you know, still try to help? And yeah, that's kind of just in my, like, if my family needed something or we're in a situation where I couldn't, then absolutely. But knowing what our plan was and knowing what my kids and my wife are capable of and where they were going, yeah, would not have been a problem to be able to roll back and help in any capacity. But yeah, I mean, we went through that as well. I talked to a lot of people that were very much like, no, I ain't leaving.
Right.
Nope.
Yeah.
You're level two means nothing to me. It's got to be level three, and it's got to be across the street. Yeah, maybe.
I don't think about it from my front door.
Right.
Which, yeah. Like, yeah. My mom, being she's, you know, stubborn from Arkansas, she literally is out in Oregon City, and they're like evacuate, and she's just like taking pictures, like, hey, look, it's like across the street almost. I'm like,
yeah,
go, Lee, what are you doing? She's like, nah, it's fine, we'll be all right. I'm like, you're insane. But that's just how some people are, you know. Absolutely. Like, you don't give up ground, you don't leave unless it's dying.
There's a pragmatic angle to it as well. I mean, I was talking to people at the fairgrounds that there was a lot of confusion. Even I am not sure at this point what the actual situation was. I was there Thursday, like right after we went to level two, and the Red Cross pulled out because they couldn't have an evacuation site in level two, and they weren't, you know, some people weren't even sure if they were allowed to stay or if they had to go or whatever. But I talked to some people that were there, and they're like, where do we go? Like, literally, like, where could we go where there's not fire?
Yeah. There's fire everywhere. Or that might not just change suddenly.
And where can we go that would be safer than here at the fairgrounds, where it's like this huge open space, like tons of gravel, very few trees, like most of the buildings are metal. Like, you know, and I'm hard to argue with that, you know?
Yeah, one of the families I was talking with, Counselor Parker, he shared with me one of the people that he met. They had left their home, evacuated to Silverton, and then was forced to evacuate again, and came to the fairgrounds. And you want to be in a situation where you hope that you only have to evacuate and move once, right?
Right.
But you know, for some of those families, you know, it was twice, some it's three. You know, I was talking with a family from, they were out in the Beaverton area and had to evacuate, and they came all the way to Clackamas County.
Really?
You know, and because I don't think, they said the Washington County Fairgrounds wasn't quite set up very well or whatever, and so they made the jaunt all the way out to the Clackamas Fairgrounds. So it's you do what you've got to do, right, for your family and for your livelihood. And I mean, it's, you know, Frankie, you were talking about just the response of the community. It's been amazing. So there was a group of people out in the fairgrounds parking lot, the gravel lot there by literally like right across the street. So it's called the Vernonia Cavalry Fire Evacuation Relief. So it's a group. Okay. It's a group, they're all, most of them are family members.
Mm-hmm. But they should workshop that name, I think.
Well, they were there in the parking lot just in standby waiting to evacuate and move family members and move livestock, whatever was needed to be done. But they felt compelled to come over and help. The story you did, you know, for Canby Current with the makeshift firefighters out in Colton.
The Redneck Crew.
The Redneck Crew. Like, I mean.
I love that story. Yeah.
Well, that to me is quintessential Canby and Clackamas County.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that is, you know, it's Rose and, you know, you know that all those people that were, you know, lined up at Clackamas Town Center with American flags and whatnot, that got down on the road and traveled, you know, to show their support for President Trump. Those are the same people who were lining up with shovels and bulldozers out there, you know, digging trenches, right? And stuff like events like this, everybody steps forward. It doesn't matter about what political party you are. It doesn't matter your race, your creed, your religion. You're in trouble. People pull together. And I see that and seen that time and time again here in Canby and in Clackamas County. So, you know, your point earlier, Frankie, about that is just, it's amazing. And that's what we do.
Yeah. And I think that speaks to Canby specifically as well, of like, there's a lot of polarizing ideas and thoughts that come into this town. We're a city that's progressing to a lot of different stuff, and so there's a lot of anger and tension in that, but then it's times like these when we can put all of that aside and really see what matters.
Absolutely.
People matter, lives matter, and the place that we're from matters, you know, and so I do like that thought of like, look, it doesn't matter who you voted for in the last election, man. The fire's gonna come, you know? Right. And that's my biggest thing right now, is really trying to get past those barriers and see each other for people.
Well, and and I talk a lot about it, and have for a number of years, about it's a matter of assessing the human condition.
Yeah.
You know, and right now the human condition for a lot of people is challenging, if not pushing towards dire. You know, the pictures of people standing in what was once their home.
Yeah.
And it's literally 5 miles from here, 10 miles from here.
Yeah.
You know,
some of the pictures that come out, you'd think that they're from, you know, some
war-torn area.
War-torn area, this place. But it's like, no, that's down the road. I go past there every day when I come to the studio. Like, it's sad.
Well, and you know, the outpouring of that sense of community has been amazing. Talking with the team at the fairgrounds, and the amount of donations of water, food, clothing, to gift cards for, you know, gas and groceries for people, to I mean, the businesses in Canby and whatnot, and even around this area that have come forward and dropped off, I mean, the pens and everything that were needed to be able to house the animals, all that ended up being donated by either local companies or local farmers that were like, hey, what do you need? We'll bring it in and we'll help set it up.
Nice.
I mean, my understanding was they were literally, so it's the, I think it was the sheep and goat barn that at the fairgrounds. They were literally, as they were setting up the pens, filling them with animals. That's how fast things were going for them. When people were moving in. And so you made, I think we were joking before, you know, about talking about the fair. I got to walk the fairground, so I got to see a lot of animals. So, you know, all I needed was some cotton candy and a scrambler.
Right, yeah, it totally did feel like the fair. It has been really interesting. One thing that I want to ask, and maybe we'll wrap up with this, but I just want to remind people, I guess, or just talk a little bit. When we first started, you were talking some about the firefighters, Brian. I know you know many of our firefighters, and you have a good connection with Canby Fire, and pretty good feel, and you know, a great relationship with Chief Davis, and kind of a good sense of what they're going through, probably. But I just want to, you know, remind folks, like, everything that we've been talking about, everything that we're dealing with, like, there are a lot of Canby Fire, certainly Malala and Colton firefighters, that have also been on top of doing their work at crazy long hours, like also evacuating their families and like trying to figure out where their horses are going to go and where their livestock and animals, you know, what's going to happen with that. It's unbelievable. And I just, like, there's no words to express like how grateful I am, and really our entire county should be for these heroes and what they've been doing now for almost a week, basically nonstop. Like, I talked to Chief Davis, I think it was Wednesday or something, but he was like, oh yeah, you know, we get a couple, 2 or 3 hours of sleep when we can, and that helps a little bit. Like, just insane. Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's the key point there is, you know, the firefighters have families and homes as well. And so them being able to break away, make sure that their families are safe, make sure that their properties are secured, so that isn't weighing on the back of their minds as well as while they're out fighting the fires. And then we roll that to Canby PD. I mean, we rolled a lot of officers to Malala to help with the evacuation process for Malala. But we have officers that live that towards that way. So them also having to be able to evacuate and situated. And then we roll it down even again when we look at, you know, Canby staff. So we had, you know, public works people and our a few of our team members at the wastewater treatment plant. They rolled in an RV and stayed on site to be able to keep operations of Cambi running and all of this as well. So there are those pieces. There's a lot that still goes into making sure that there's functionality in those surrounding cities so that we can take in evacuees and people that are being displaced and that our firefighters have, you know, don't have to worry about things back home necessarily, quote unquote, back home in the hometown. So, you know, it is truly a group effort when something like this happens.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Are there any resources that you want to shout out, Brian, specifically? I've kind of put some out through stories that folks have already heard on the podcast at this point, but anything that really stands out to you that you want to share with people as we wrap up here?
Resources in terms of like what's like where to go or?
To get information or things like that that you found helpful.
For me, it's been, I would recommend going to the Clackamas County website. They have a ton of information that they're updating more frequently than even what I'm able to get necessarily. I know that I would say right there would be your biggest and best source of information that should be more current than necessarily sometimes waiting on the mayor to craft a Facebook message and get it out there. But that's where I go to get a lot of my information as well. And so that's where I would tell people to look the most. So.
Yeah, and they're doing a great job as well at kind of being that clearinghouse because they're pulling information from the sheriff, from the incident management team based out of the Mount Hood Forestry Service that is managing the Riverside Fire now, and American Red Cross and just other things. They're kind of pulling everything and putting it out, putting the most useful stuff out. Well, Brian, thank you so much for taking time out to talk to us and share your experiences. It's obviously something, you know, an incredible shared experience that we're not likely to forget, but I think it's good to, you know, take moments like this and kind of just for even history and just kind of remember what it was like this past week. The thing that stands out to me is, and you kind of hit on it, but just, the kindness and the goodness that we've seen. We've tried to cover as many of those stories as we can, but like, it really does, a crisis like this really does like kind of reveal the core of a person and of a community. And I think what we've seen is a lot of good at the heart of where we live. And that's really gives me a lot of hope going forward. So thank you, Brian, and thanks, Tyler, for jumping on the mics with us.
I mean,
it's great to see you guys.
Yeah, I gotta talk every once in a while, right? I'm not gonna go read all of the news for this episode or anything.
Yeah, right.
Well, Frankie, right, thanks for inviting me on.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay safe, everyone. Thanks.
Hey, Frankie, you okay? You seem kind of down.
Yeah, I'm just bummed. I miss going to the Wild Hair. I know you can still get takeout and all, but it's just not the same.
You know they're open again, right?
What?
Yeah, they've been open for a while now. Don't you cover, like, the news?
Hey, I'm only human, okay?
Okay. Well, I can tell you that the Wild Hare and their amazing staff are thrilled to be open again for delicious meals and fun times. They are strictly following all the recommended safety guidelines, and they have the only covered outdoor patio in Cambi, with lots of tables spaced 6 feet apart and umbrellas also spaced 6 feet apart and fantastic ambiance. And hey, if you're still more comfortable with carryout, they can hook you up there too. Find their menu and other information online at thewildhairsaloon.net or check them out in Cambi in Oregon City. Anything to add, Frankie? Frankie? Oh, I guess he left. God, he must have been really hungry. Now Hear This Cambi is produced by me, Tyler Clausen. Our content director and star reporter is Tyler Frankie. And of course, our show is edited by Cameron Clausen. We also feature the vocal talents of Joy Struby and James Walden. So a round of applause to them. The song that you're hearing right now is Cambi by singer-songwriter Olivia Harms, used with her permission. To find more work from her, you can visit her website olivia13.com.
Now Hear This Cambi is dedicated to preserving independent local journalism and redefining local news with our fun, fresh, and energetic brand of storytelling. Our sincere thanks to our local sponsors who make this show possible. Please show your appreciation by supporting the small businesses who support us.
The production of Now Hear This Studios, Cambie's locally owned full-service audio, video, and media production company. Our mission is to produce the best content in the universe, and we'd love to help you do it. Find us online at nhtstudios.com.
I will take a motion to adjourn.
I just moved it.
I didn't even ask for it, though.